Thanks for that. God has already set the scene, and I love it when you get confirmation before you actually get up here. It's very encouraging to know that you're hearing God. And that's what God wants for all of us, and this year is we're really pursuing this subject of each individual hearing God. It's not about just the leadership. It's not if you're preaching. We need to hear God constantly throughout the day. We need to be tuned in always and recognise his voice, because he's always tuned in to you. He says he hears the slightest whisper, the smallest voice he hears, and he's there ready to go into action on our behalf. I've got a ring on me. I don't know. Are you? Andrew's working on it. Amen. Relax, Grace. Father, I thank you for your word. It's mighty. And Lord, where would we be without it? We couldn't exist without your word. So, Father, I thank you for this word today. And I pray, Lord, that the things that you want us to take home and the things you want us to apply in our lives will hit our spirits and remain with us. And that you will grant us the ability to carry it through. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just as at the turn of the year, the scripture that really blessed me was from Isaiah 9 and verse 6. And I think the first Sunday after Christmas, this was the scripture that we were concentrating on. And I was prepared to speak on that day, but there was so much being said. I just felt God saying, do a rain check on that, Grace. Wait. And it's the particular part of the verse of Isaiah 9 and verse 6 I want to look at. It's his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. That is a very, very powerful force in our lives. Peace. God wants us to constantly be walking in peace. Instead, Jesus said in John 14 and verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And here's the instruction. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Whose responsibility is that? Somebody answer me. You're not all cardboard cutouts. Whose responsibility is it? Ours. It's my responsibility. God's saying to me, you don't let your heart be troubled. And in John 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you. And here's the thing. That in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, no doubt about it. You're going to be tested and tested and tested, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Amen. When we're in him, he's overcome, I've overcome. And I'm not going to get out of him. I'm not going to get out from under his wings and give the devil an opportunity to swipe me. Okay? This is what God wants us to do. We're not exempt from tribulation, but we can overcome it. Well, how do we achieve peace? Let's look at what Solomon said. Solomon was the wisest man on the face of the earth. God gave him wisdom. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Solomon wrote these words, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. In other words, follow God's instructions. For length of days and long life and peace they shall add to thee. Solomon is saying here, live by the word of God. Follow my instructions and you will live constantly in peace. Does anybody want to live in constant peace? Amen. Well, here's the secret. follow my instructions. Where do we find his instructions? In the Bible. So what does that tell you? You've got to read it. You've got to be in this word. You've got to know this word. Because God speaks through this word and you begin to recognise his voice. And that's what God wants for every one of us. It will bring peace and it will give you a long life. Woo! I'm up for that. Amen. Quality life. Praise God. As somebody said that the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, is basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what this is. You won't need it when you get to heaven, but you need it now. And very, very much so. It needs to be your number one read every day. Trash the newspaper. Forget the news. This is your number one reading. It's what God says that's important, not what the world says. The media is a load of rubbish. God says, and that's what we live by. It is written. What did Jesus say to the devil? It is written. It is written. It is written. That's the most important thing. David, a man after God's own heart. I think we all love David. He was real. He got into trouble, but God got him out. That's good news, isn't it? You know, we look at some characters and think, oh, they were so holy. No wonder they lived good lives. No wonder they were blessed. But David was exceedingly blessed. And he said this in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And in the New Living Translation it says, I have everything I need. I love it. I'm lacking nothing. And if you go through Psalm 23, you know, he'll be with you in the fight, in the battle. He'll take you beside still waters, green pastures. He restores your soul. It's all about his peace. He's given to you all the way through, the confidence that I'm with you. You've nothing to fear. God's with you. You've got everything you need. And he puts a banquet out when the devil's attacking you. And he says, sit down, eat, rejoice. Show the devil that you don't have a fear. You are not afraid. You trust in God because he is everything you will ever need. Amen. Has anybody found that to be true? I certainly have. He's everything that I need. And as has been mentioned a few times today, Psalm 46 and verse 10, David said, be still and know that I am God. Yes? I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth, not the devil. I will be exalted. Trust me, I'm bigger than the devil. And here's something you need to get hold of today. When we are walking in peace, the devil has no power to work against us. He is immobilized. Do you want to put him out the frame? Get into peace. Let God fight your battles. You hide under God's wings and let him do what's necessary. And God says when you're in peace, the devil is immobilized. The only power source the devil has is your negativity. We play a big part, don't we? Very important to be in peace. What did Isaiah the prophet say? In Isaiah 26 and verse 3, he said this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. That's the key. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts you. We trust God. You trust God, keep your mind on God. Keep your eyes off what's going on all around you and you will be in perfect peace. What did Peter say? I mean, Peter was an impetuous man, an impulsive man. But wow, what a man of faith. He walked on water. I don't know if I would have dared do it, but he did. He was fearsome. And Peter said this in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Cast all your care on him, because he cares for you. So how do you cast it? It says actually to hurl it on God. You've seen these hurling competitions, and they really, when they've got that spear, they really run at it and they throw everything at it, and they let go of it. That's the key. Don't hang on to the end, or else you'll come a cropper. God says, when you hurl it, let go of it. I've got it. You don't have it anymore. So it's not your responsibility, it's mine. Trust me, rest in me, and let me give you my peace and my confidence. Paul, wow, if anybody went through trials and tribulations, Paul did. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, Paul said, For to be carnally minded, in fact, that means naturally minded, is death. If you think with this, you're dead in the water. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you run by this one, Andrew talks about the fanatic in the attic. He'll put you out to grass. The fella in the cellar is who you listen to, your heart. God is here, and he's saying to me, dig deep, listen to me, forget this, switch him off, because he's going to send you crazy. In other words, think God's thoughts and speak God's words. Don't speak what you see or what you hear or what you feel. Speak what God says. It is written. God said, he gave me a promise, and he said this. And that's what I'm looking at. And devil, you can do all the shouting and showmanship that you want, but I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at God, because that's the truth, and that's what will bring me through. Amen. Romans 16:20. This is one of Andrew's favourite verses. Paul said this. Romans 16:20. And the God of peace shall soon crush Satan under your feet. When you get into peace, the devil's lost it. He's crushed under your feet. How important peace is. Wow. When we get into peace and we let go, God deals with the devil, sends him rolling. Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 7, don't be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Why with thanksgiving? Because when you can thank God for the answer, at the same, you ask him and then you thank him for the answer, that says to God, she's got faith. She trusts me. She knows that if she asks, she'll receive. And when she can thank me, when she can praise me, when she can worship me, she knows she's won, and she has won. Because the devil's lost it at that point. So, let your requests be made known unto God. And the God of peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The God of peace. He's always wanting us in peace. Come on, in peace. It is a passage of scripture in Psalms, and it's from in the Message, in Psalm 94, I think it is. It says that to build a circle of quiet in the clamour of evil. And then it goes further down, and the last verse says, when you do that, the devil, what the devil throws at you, will boomerang straight back on him. And I love that picture. Let it boomerang back on him. Let me get out of the way, and let God make that curse boomerang back on the devil, where it came from. We were praying that yesterday in this place. Lord, let the curse go back where it came from. We're not cursed, we're blessed. Yes. Amen. We're healed, we're delivered. We've had that today. Andrew put it on Messenger. Who we are, Steve's saying. What are we? We're sons of God. Yes. Amen. Devil, don't you touch me. Philippians 4. Oh, just a quote here, yeah. I don't know where this came up, but Bill Johnson said, he's got a big church in Reading in the USA, and he said, In order to have a peace that passes all understanding, we have to give up our right to understand. I was speaking to my brother-in-law before I came out, and my sister's situation has got a bit rocky. And I was saying to him, Maurice, stop looking at what might be. Look at what God says. Now keep your focus. Don't try and work it out. Will they do this? Will they do that? What happens if... You know, we're all tempted, aren't we, to go down that track. Because we're taught to be responsible and to think. But God's saying, you don't need to. You just need to believe what I say. You need to do what I tell you to do. Trust me. Trust me. And I'll do it. You don't need to work it out. Those things, in Philippians 4 and verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do it. And the God of peace shall be with you. Paul said that. Those things which you have seen and heard and seen me do, what I've taught you, what you've seen me do, you do it, and the God of peace shall be with you. Well, Paul could have sung the blues, couldn't he? But would it have done him any good? Would it have delivered him? He'd have been dead at the bottom of the water. It's no good singing the blues. It's no good saying, oh, woe is me, look what's happening. No. Start rejoicing, start giving thanks, start thinking and speaking like God says. Paul is saying, remember what I've taught you and follow my example. It's not about circumstances. At this point when Paul said that, he was in prison, in chains. It's no good being happy and upbeat because the circumstances are good. It's not always going to be that way. We have to fight the good fight of faith. And if that wasn't, God wouldn't put that in the Word of God, if that wasn't something that would occur in our lives. Paul said, whatever the circumstances, I have learned to be content. Well, this man who was shipwrecked and in the water for 24 hours, he was flogged, he was stoned. We haven't had to overcome all those, have we? But he was a living example, and certainly he qualified to speak as he did. Bill Johnson, another one that he said, and this is what really hit me as the crux of what we're talking about today. He said this, Jesus did not live in reaction to the devil. He lived in response to the Father. Now, is that a key or not? And I thought about that, and I thought, just a minute, where does that back up in Scripture? It does. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. That's why you need to keep your eyes on the Father, because you want to know what he's saying and what he's doing. You don't need to know what's going on around you. God's in charge of that. You look up. You look at God. And in John 14 and verse 30, Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming. He said, and he has no hold over me. That's good news, isn't it? The devil has no hold over you and me. Jesus treated him with utter contempt. He wouldn't even be where the devil was, apart from in the wilderness, and he put him in his place there. The devil had no say in Jesus' life, only the Father. Therefore, he walked in peace. The devil has no say in your life if you will walk in peace. You disarm him totally. Abandon yourself to God. And as I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, it applies to us. Because Colossians 3 and verse 3 says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And I did something very important. I didn't remember recite it from memory. I went back and read it. And I got a revelation, because it says, "For you died," and in brackets, "to yourself. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God." And the challenge came, have we died to self? Or does the devil still have a hold on us? Are we still wanting it our way? Are we still trying to work it out? Do we want to do what God wants us to do? If we don't die to self, we're not buried with him. And we're not hidden in him, because the devil can get to us. He can get a hold on us. And I'm not giving the devil a hold. So, God says, you've died to yourself. You're not going to try and work this out. You're not in charge. God's in charge. Now let him do what he's going to do. It's not because your circumstances are right. It's not because your kids are doing well and your family's all at peace. It's because God's in charge, that you've given your life to God. And I would say, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, you haven't even got on the first starting block. If you want a life of peace and joy, then it's got to be God first. And if you're trying to live in both camps, you're not going to have a life of peace. Because you can't live in two camps. You need to completely die to yourself and give yourself to God. You know, people come up screaming with problems. And I look at it and I think, yeah, but they're not living by the book. If you're not living by God's standards, you're going to encounter a lot of tribulation. More than you would expect, I would say. Why? Because you're not following God's instructions. You know? God wants us. Don't follow the world standards. They say live together and then think about getting married, if ever. God says no. No, 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 no. You commit yourselves to one another. You marry. And then you have your children. And then I'll bless you. You know, we can't have the world's standards and expect God to come up for us. And he will. I mean, the times God has come up for people. But at some point, he expects us to draw the line and get lined up with the Word of God. Because he wants us to live in peace. And if you've got a foot in both camps, you're not. You're not following his instructions. You're not going to be in peace. There's no two ways about it. God says, do it. Follow me. Commit yourself to me. Die to your flesh. Die to what you want. And I'll give you a life beyond your wildest dreams. And he has. I've had a tremendous life. Yet it's not been without tribulation. But God's always been there for me. And he's brought me through in victory. And I can rejoice today. And my spirit's buoyant. Not because of what's happened or what is happening. But because God's in charge. He's in charge of my life. And I'm going to leave him in charge. I'm not going to take it off him, because I want to live in peace. You know, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say? Father, if there be any way, any other way than me to have to go through the cross. And God said, and he knew. And he said, but I know there isn't. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That was the greatest sacrifice ever. But Jesus sacrificed his free will. And he said, for all these I see here, for all those I see coming to the Father, I'll give my life, that they might have life, life of in abundance. And there was a testimony on Andrew's Facebook, and I read it, and it was about a lady who, she used to be a goth, and she used to worship Satan, and her life was an absolute mess. And in 2019 she gave her life to Jesus and did a complete U-turn. She turned away completely from every satanic act. She cut herself off from that lifestyle and she turned to God. And God has changed her dramatically. And if you see it, there's a picture of before and a picture of after. The before, her face was all made up and she looked evil to the core. The picture of her when she was free and living for Jesus was absolute. She's a beautiful woman. And she looked gorgeous, totally at peace, beautiful complexion. She looked gorgeous, and I thought, if that's not a testimony, even just looking at her face, you know, we don't need to get involved in what the devil is wanting us to do. We don't need to listen to anything he has to say. We are God's children. We are sons of God, the living God. We have a better way to go. We have a better future. We have everything that God has bought for us. But it's that sometimes God's not a quick fix problem solver. It's no good living your way and then coming to God for him to fix your problems. If you live God's way, you probably won't have the problems. More than likely, you won't. God is saying, follow my instructions, live by my rules, and you will know peace in your life. I was thinking about 2022. Two is the number of Jesus. He's the second member of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Number two is also the number of witness. Whenever Jesus saw, whenever the disciples went out, they went out two by two. That's the number of witness. And today, we are called to be witnesses for Jesus. And we are called to do greater works than Jesus did. How on earth are they going to do that? We're going to do it by walking in peace as Jesus did. And it's essential to overcoming all the works of the devil. Amen. So I just want to say here, if there's any of us here have been challenged, and if there's some area in our life that the devil is latching onto and robbing us of our peace, if there's some way that we're not totally given over to God, and I said, God, you take my life. I give my life to you. I want you to be in charge of my life, and I'll follow you. That's what Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. You know, if we're hanging on to some areas in our lives and saying, God, you can't have that. No, I want that. Then you're giving the devil a hook on you, and he's going to use that hook to keep dragging you down and dragging you back. And if you feel God's spoken to you today, then I'd just like you to stand and we'll say, God, I surrender everything to you, because I know you've got the best future for me. And I'm not saying I understand everything, but I am prepared to say, God, I give everything back to you. I give you permission to take my life and use it as you choose. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you're living in two camps, then it's time to say, Jesus, I surrender. I give my life to you. And if you feel God's challenging you, then stand with me and let's rededicate our life to God and say, Lord, I surrender all to you. All to you I freely give. If anybody feels that they have an issue that they want to talk to us about and need prayer, then don't hesitate to come out and we'll pray with you. Father, I stand here and I identify, Lord, with others who have stood here, and we're saying, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them live in ceaseless praise. Lord, we want to surrender everything to you. And if there's an area in our lives, Lord, where the devil so easily trips us up, we say, Lord, we give it to you. We ask you to take that from us and to deliver us. And Lord, that we can close the door on that and say, Lord, I don't understand everything, but I surrender to you and I trust you to deal with things that I find most difficult to handle. I don't want to handle things in my life. I want you to handle everything that concerns me. I want to be yours and yours alone. And I want to surrender completely to you. Lord, just live my life through you. Thank you, Father. Yeah, I do. I don't want to give the devil a foothold at all ever in my life. But Lord, I want to live in your peace constantly. And Lord, your word says that you will empower us to do whatever we need to do. You know, Father, you are our source of supply. So Lord, we say, as we surrender to you, let us be filled with your peace, your rest. We want to walk in that peace constantly, no matter what's going on around us. Grant us your divine ability to live in that peace and rest in you. In Jesus' name.